Thank you for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a witty take on today's issues between what often sounds like an old married couple, but we're actually two psychologists who will hash it out day in and day out, looking at today's relationships, politics, and everything in between. Thank you again for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The doctors are in. Let's begin. Thank you for joining us for She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The Doctors Are In, a podcast. My name is Dr. Sabrina Khan, and you are?
Dr. Tombaqui Bailey.
Affectionately known to me as Bilal, and we are two Black psychologists who'll be discussing everything from politics to relationships and everything in between. Thank you for listening. Take it away, Bilal.
All right, Sabrina. We are talking about accountability in relationships. Is it you or is it me? Accountability in relationships. So let's take it away.
Well, of course we know the answer to that question. It's you. And it's never, ever me. But what an appropriate topic for us to bring in this next episode. And, you know, this came out of a discussion that I had with a friend of mine about what really ends up being what you think is basic issues that come up in relationships. But I think, you know, as we get older, one of the things that continues to stand out for me is how much people struggle with accountability. So I thought maybe considering our profession, or at least my profession, since I have a real profession, I'm not sure about you, Bilal, but what I'll say is I thought we would start with really a way to define it more seriously. And then I'll give you my version of what I think accountability is. So accountability, and we're talking to specifically in relationships, is the practice of claiming responsibility for your actions and how they affect other people. And really, what that looks like is when people are accountable in relationships, they really understand that their behavior really directly influences their partner or their partner's behavior. And that's either positively or negatively. And then here's what I think is the ticket. And I'd like to send a few emails to people from my past. They then make course corrections to maintain a healthier and more collaborative partnership. Can I say that again for the people in the back that didn't hear it?
No, you don't need to. You don't need
yes.
to. You
know, they make course corrections.
I feel some type of way right now.
To maintain a healthier and more collaborative partnership. So basically, it's a foundational principle in romantic relationships. And this really helps to bond family members, loved ones, friendships. And really, accountability is important in all relationships. But particularly, I think during this episode, we're going to really focus our efforts on the romantic relationships. But what I will say is, just as a side note, when people are not accountable, that's usually when they refuse to acknowledge, you know, even that their behavior affects their partners, or even how their actions affect their partners. And oftentimes this is when my favorite, the blame game, gets involved. And it's never me and it's always you. Oh, I guess I kind of opened the episode with that. Okay, so let's disregard that. But what I'll say is, you know, the blame game, selfish behaviors, and really all of this can lead to overall disconnection from, you know, the relationship, from arguments, and it really creates a lot of tension. And I think, you know, as you listen to, you know, other podcasts, or as you listen to or read on social media, or you watch on television shows, in all romantic relationships, there's typically some engagement that captures the fact that somebody is not accountable. So I guess I'll start with the first question of this episode, Bilal, and I'm sure you won't have a relevant answer, but I'll go ahead and say that in most relationships, who do you think is usually accountable or not accountable?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question, Sabrina.
Yes.
I mean, my obvious answer is you.
Somehow I knew that that was going to be your answer, but go ahead.
You know what? The fact that I made you laugh, that makes me feel good.
Right.
You know, I think it is a good question. And I think people go back and forth. I'm sure in a gendered conversation, in a heterosexual context, I'm sure all men are going to say women. All women are going to say men. Mm-hmm. I think in relationships in general, whether heterosexual, gay, lesbian, and bisexual, I think everybody's looking to the other, mm-hmm. right? And so it is easy to analyze, to dissect, to take apart what the partner is doing, and it becomes more difficult to look at ourselves. So when you say who is usually accountable, it is me, right? It's just what you and I are saying, right? Is it you or is it me? It's mm-hmm. me, whoever the me is. Mm-hmm. When the person is thinking about that, they're thinking they are the most accountable, and the other is not accountable. Now, in my relationship mm-hmm. history,
mm-hmm. we already know the answer to that.
You know, it's funny. This topic is so apropos in my life. I think I've been able to see in the past when I have been more or less accountable, mm-hmm. and when I'm more accountable, I think that the outcomes were, you know, just that thing you're talking about, course correction. You're more accountable. You know, there's boundaries. You're willing to make some changes or adjustments. I think when you're not holding yourself accountable or not being held accountable, so mm-hmm. it can be both, then things get a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah. So basically, you know, audience, what he's saying is that he's typically not accountable. So I'll go ahead and take that and say no, that.
I'm saying it's sometimes and sometimes. That's what I'm saying.
No,
sometimes and sometimes.
I hate to even agree with you on that note, but I do think you're semi sort of right about the fact that it depends. And I would just add the layer of it depends on what the argument is. So it's an argument that's very important to me, then I'm likely going to try to be more accountable. If it's something that maybe is important to the other person, then I don't really care what you think about that. Or I may not care that I didn't quite do it your way or in the right way or meet your expectations, because maybe whatever you're, you know, upset with me about is not that relevant, or I think is kind of dumb or whatever, then I might just kind of dismiss you. But I think one of the areas that I know I've seen with couples that I've seen in the past is this is a tug of war in most relationships, in that, you know, it's always if such and such would dot, 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 just say they're wrong or just admit mm-hmm. that they did something, then I would be okay. Now, granted, we've never mm-hmm. tested that out, so we don't know if it's true, but it sounds good. It sounds right. But I think ultimately, you know, it just depends too, I think, on how you're socialized as a child. I've noticed as I've gotten older that I have friendships or relationships with people that were socialized with lots of accountability. You know, there were consequences for the, you know, choices you made. And then I have some other friends or family members who simply, they don't know what a consequence is because they literally did whatever they wanted. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone around them, and to use your word, Bilal, adjusted to whatever decisions they made. So they really didn't have a lot of accountability. And oftentimes it didn't occur until they maybe got out of the house. Maybe they, you know, went to school, or they went to work, or they went away to college or something like that, where, you know, then people kind of said, hey, you know, did you do that? Did you break that glass, or did you do this or whatever? And people actually had to acknowledge what was going on. But I definitely think that it depends on the value of what mm-hmm. is being mm-hmm. Discussed, I think, in that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, but there's something that you brought up, even as you were describing accountability. I do think that there's accountability in romantic or sexual relationships. There's accountability, as you said, in friendships. And then there's accountability within a familial dynamic, mm-hmm. and not not a marriage familial dynamic or like a partner familial dynamic, but like there's your auntie, your sibling, a parent, like that's a family member that's going to stay your family member forever. Mm-hmm. Not in a romantic relationship where mm-hmm. people get, you know, divorced or somebody dies mm-hmm. or, you know, that relationship ends in that way. So mm-hmm. I do think that accountability also, you know, as I started out, you know, my context of talking about it was really this in a romantic or some type of romantic sexual relationship. But I do think it looks different in friendships and in a family dynamic.
I think you raise a good point, because I just thought of another scenario where, you know, do we hold our non-romantic family members or friends accountable in the same way? And my first thought was no. I think I have higher accountability standards, you know, in a romantic relationship than I do probably in family or friends, because especially if it's a relationship where you live together or something of that mm-hmm. sort, because now mm-hmm. I got to look at you every day. So I need you to do what it is that I asked you to do and right, be right, responsible right. or accountable to those things. Where if I don't have to live with you, or if I don't have to see you every day, you know, if you don't call me back, you know, it's not going to necessarily upset my life in the same way if it's somebody that yeah. is more significant. And it could be even my child in my house, you know, there's going to be a level of accountability, because any decision that person makes is going to impact me more than maybe somebody who's outside of my house too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Like I think about with my parents, my accountability to my parents is pretty high. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I wonder about, you know, with your mom when she were alive, what that accountability was for you, you know, like, because I don't want to disappoint my parents, mm-hmm. you know, like I don't want to. So I think that accountability is higher, but it's also a power dynamic mm-hmm. because we're adults, but it's still.
You can still get a whooping. Go ahead and call it.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Right. So that accountability looks a lot different.
No, I do.
Like, did you do that thing? And I'm like, oh, I didn't do it. And I feel like, oh, I let them down. I ain't do it right. And, you know, so, yeah, I think the accountability is higher. You know, my parents.
Yeah. No, I think you make a good point, because I think it's the level of respect for the relationship. You know, in the parental relationship, I think I know until I lost both my parents that I really did want to appease them, or if they did ask me to do something, I tried to be responsible or act on whatever it was that they yeah. did, you know, or required of me or requested of me. Definitely. But I'll tell you that, you know, what was fun.
And Sabrina, can I add to something?
No. So anyway, no, go ahead. You got it.
Well, because and you were you had a good relationship with your mom. You and your mom were close. Mm-hmm. So I think that also is an additive piece, because I think there's some people who, you know, unfortunately, they didn't have great relationships with their biological parents. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe that level of respect wasn't there. Maybe they weren't around them, you know, whatever those things were. And I think for you and I, we were blessed to be able to be close with our moms. And so I think that also heightens that respect and that accountability there.
No, I agree. One thing I was going to add was that the one nice thing about being an adult is when I would sometimes and occasionally exercise that, no, I'm not doing that, because you can't tell me to do it anymore, mama or daddy.
Right, right. Right.
Now, granted, that
that's also setting a boundary.
Often.
That's yes. also setting a boundary with them, though.
No, you know? Absolutely. And that's healthy to do, to really be able yeah. to stand independent of your families. And that's not to dismiss, you know, cultures where, you know, your family still live together and they still are very supportive of each other. But I still think that there is that probably even more accountability, I would think, in cultural situations where maybe you have three generations living together, or you have, mm-hmm. you know, people mm-hmm. that live very close together in the same community or something like that, where there is responsibility for a larger system, maybe beyond your nuclear family.
Right.
So.
Yeah. You know, I think that also, you know, that point you're saying just in terms of nuclear family or beyond that, I think mm-hmm. with my family, as the layers go out, mm-hmm. I have a less sense of accountability, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? Like, I think family that are younger than me, I you know, it's just a different feel mm-hmm. where, like, you know, obviously my parents, my grandmother, my aunt, like, they are still these adult figures in my life, mm-hmm. You know, so my stepmom telling me something versus somebody who I'm not as close with in my family, like my mm-hmm. stepmom telling me something like, okay, I gotta really consider that, mm-hmm. or my aunt telling me something, I really have to consider that. And that, I think that also has a draw of accountability within the family. So it's like the layers that are closest to you yeah. and have that more power, I am more I feel like I need to be more accountable to those individuals.
Yeah. And just so you all know, behind the scenes, when Bilal doesn't do what I want, I do threaten to call his mama. And he usually gets in line.
That is true. That is true.
And he usually gets in line.
And I don't know why. And it works. Because I get nervous.
Yes. Well, mostly because I'm the favorite. And we've already established that. Shout out.
Which I don't understand.
Right.
Well, I don't understand, you know,
it just is what it is.
Dang.
Recognize and accept. So we'll move on from there. But, you know, I guess that leads me to my next question, which is, you know, why is accountability even important? Like, why does it even matter? Like, I'm grown. I can do right. what I want, Bilal. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we should be able to do that. We should be able to.
Yeah.
You know, before I got married, I was like, you know, put my foot down. And that didn't really work the way I thought it would work. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the accountability, when we start thinking about it, and the thing that we had in the familial relationships and in our family relationships, and we start thinking about romantic relationships, that accountability really allows people to have that level of trust in a relationship. Like, okay, this person is going to do what they say they're going to do, that there's a level of follow through, the responsibility is there. I think about this, the boundary also is, it's obvious, it's seen, like there's this line, and that accountability says, hey, this is the boundary for whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. whatever that thing is. And so when you know where that boundary is, you know where that point that says, hey, I need to be accountable, I think then it allows for greater security in relationships.
Yes.
Now, I mean, seriously, and I think about this for me, that hasn't always existed for me in terms of accountability like it does with my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I'm like, this is a no-go. That line with my parents, I cannot cross. Mm-hmm. I just cannot. Mm-hmm. And I will say in relationships, I can't say there's like a, you know, different circumstances, different issues, but it's just, you know, my parents, even today, my parents, like, they want to talk to the kids at 3:30. I was like, we need to set an alarm. I told the kids, we got to set an alarm for three. Right. I was like, we got to set an alarm so we can know to get on, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't know if I'm, you know, so I don't know if that always extends, but you know, just to the question you're asking, why is it important when that accountability is not there? And I mean, not there. I mean, I think people, different degrees, mm-hmm. right? It's a continuum. No accountability, always accountable. When there's no accountability, there's no trust. Mm-hmm. There is no commitment. There's no... Yeah, I think those things are huge. Mm-hmm. I think those things are huge.
Well, and just to piggyback on what you're saying too, I also would stretch you further to say there's no love. You know, when there's no accountability, to me, there's no love. Because one of the things I think, at least from my perspective, when you love somebody, you want to be accountable to them in the sense that, you know, you want to typically keep your word. You want to typically not chronically disappoint them. you want to typically, you know, own up to things that you may have done or made mistakes on, or you may have, I'm going to really stretch it with lied about or whatever.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Crunch, crunch, toes, toes. But what I'll say is that I also think that it speaks to a level of maturity too. I think, you know, and I think maybe this issue also has shown up a little bit more intimately for me as I'm raising my child, because that is definitely a attribute that I want him to have, is to be accountable for his own actions. And it's difficult sometimes, because especially in a world where you see many factors that influence or impact behavior, but some things are just you. What you've done, decisions you've made, choices you've made, you know, things of that sort. So, but I do think that there's a level of maturity, especially in relationships. You know, I think as young people, we're taught to, oh, you can do what you want. It's not a big deal. You know, it's not that serious. The relationship is just a fly-by-night situation. Oh, you didn't call that person. No big deal. But I think all of that kind of thinking about it creates bad habits. And then when you get into a serious relationship, again, it could be a marriage, it could be a long-term commitment, it could be, hey, you're my boo for the next 18 months, whatever you call it. I think that, you know, if I already have all these bad habits of not being accountable, then suddenly you show up in this, you know, more serious relationship and people are expecting you to do things like not showing up at home with ice cream and you didn't bring me none. Okay, let's start there. Matter of fact, I got an attitude already thinking about that. How you gonna come home and not bring me any ice cream? But okay, especially when you know I love ice cream. But you know, it's that kind of stuff.
So Sabrina.
Yes.
No, you're making a great point.
You ate the last piece of chicken? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I did, for sure, for sure. But okay, but you make a great point. You make a great point. And there's something that I have a question I wanna ask you, but let me just speak on what you're saying. I think that when people are in very surface and shallow relationships, interactions with people, the expectation is that accountability is low, right? Like, oh, I tried to call you. And that person is ghost. They're out. You can't find them, right?
That, like, depends on who you're asking. Go ahead.
But I'm telling you, I mean, I think that happens for a lot of people because they're saying, I don't have a lot of weight in this interaction right now. Maybe we're just kicking it. Maybe we're just, it's strictly a sexual relationship. Maybe
just
it's
kicking it. That's a trigger word. Go ahead.
My bad. But I will say, I mean, there's still some accountability in a sexual relationship, but I'm just saying, like, because there's accountability in terms of if there's agreement around, are we engaging multiple partners? Are we having safe sex? Like I think that, or safer sex. But so I think there's those points of accountability, but there are other points of accountability in those very surface relationships where a person is like, I'm not going to be emotionally available. Mm. Right? Like
maturity.
I'm not going to be. But I think people say, well, yeah. I mean, I think you can find 40 and 50 year olds as well, exactly. But you know, not just 20 year olds, but I think somebody's like, yo, I'm not going to be emotionally available for you.
Yeah.
I'm not there.
Right.
And so they're not accountable to the emotional component of the relationship. But the point you were saying, as relationships or people find themselves in a more serious relationship, if they've been engaging in that same behavior in this new, different experience, they may replicate those old behaviors because that's all they know.
Exactly. Bad behaviors again. That now okay, you but Sabrina, fix.
So let me push you.
Okay, go
let
ahead.
Me push you then. Tell I want you to think about out loud, how has social media and online dating impacted accountability in relationships?
Swipe left, swipe right. I think it's only further hindered a lack of accountability because now you have a medium that removes the sting of the interaction. So think about the numerous things that can happen to your computer or to your phone when you're trying to engage online. Oh, suddenly, you know, the call drops. Well, you don't know if someone hung up on you. You don't know if their battery died. You don't know if they left their phone, you know, pulled away from the house and the phone was, you know, on the steps or whatever. So you don't really know. And I think the person on the other side is left with all these things to determine. But there has been sort of an acceptable amount of what I would call trifling behavior or ghosting or things of where there's not really a accountability. I think social media has only enhanced that because there is something about the, I can say this and then I can log off and you can't respond to me. Or if you do respond, I'll get it 2 weeks later when I log on again. So, or something like that, or I can just delete it and not see it at all. So there is something to that medium. So you don't, and when I say you don't feel the sting the same, it's not like being face to face and someone saying, hey, I don't like you anymore. You know, before I can go on an online dating, you know, profile and swipe left on someone, chat two or three exchanges and then realize I don't like this person and then just stop responding. So that person is left not really knowing. I mean, did something happen? Did, you know, did I do something? I mean, there's all to me this gray area that's very hard to understand what is going on. And I think, you know, one of the challenges that continues to plague accountability is, you know, if you don't have good communication on top of that, it just. And really good communication is relative. I'm laughing because I just had a conversation about that with someone earlier today that, you know, good communication is relative to the person because for that person that decided, hey, I'm not going to swipe on you again or I'm not going to continue this conversation. For them, it was good communication. Hey, I wasn't feeling you, so I stopped responding. So you figured out I don't want you. Mm-hmm. So that's good communication. But for somebody else, it may be, well, why wouldn't you just say, hey, I'm no longer interested or hey, I've moved on or hey, you know, I don't think this is a fit or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And so in social media, I can do that. Like I cannot call you back ever and I'm good. You know, I don't. You know, in social dating, right? And getting on my app, like I can block you on that joint
or I can close it out and
start
a new one.
Yep. So yeah, this is a second moment where now I'm agreeing with you, but yeah, I think the accountability, social media only. What'd you say? I like how you said it. How'd you say it?
Right. What was
say
that?
It too many more times though about social media and online dating with accountability.
Well, I'm not even sure what I said now, but I'm sure it was important and relevant.
I said it. You didn't say it. I didn't say it.
So
yeah, but I think it arrests accountability. It stops at that moment. It doesn't grow because I can just swipe you out.
Yeah.
And I don't have to deal with you anymore. Mm-hmm. You say something I don't like, I don't have to say, hey, I don't like that, or that rubbed me the wrong way. That's accountability.
Yeah.
That's me holding myself accountable, holding the other person accountable.
Yeah.
I just am like, and then move on to the next person. But so I haven't really resolved, though, maybe my issue of somebody doing whatever the thing is that I don't like and not just addressing it with the person. And it'll keep coming up person to person to person because I just never address it. So it's a really way of this passive way of dealing with a conflict as opposed to being an assertive way because now I just keep ending situations, right? And so I think that it then, in terms of enforcing a behavior, it enforces a behavior of not actually dealing with whatever the issue is head on, accountability. I think people just kind of on that moving further along that other end.
Which kind of really supports my next question, which is, you know, what does it cost or what does a lack of accountability cost? And I'll go ahead and jump in and take that because I think it's expensive. It what lack of accountability costs to me are relationships, solid relationships, good relationships, meaningful relationships, you know, relationships that are important. I think that, you know, it just, it, I think this is why we have relationships that don't last or that don't go anywhere, that are one night wonders or whatever, you know, one night stands or whatever, you know. That's why they don't continue, because I think when people are not accountable, you know, accountable for their behavior, then, you know, things just drop off and there's no explanation. And, you know, I don't think it's a, I think that's a part of why our world is in trouble in some ways. I mean, you have, this is a sidebar political statement, but you have people saying, I won't accept the election results unless I win.
Yeah.
You know, just, so you're not going to be accountable to the fact that you, you know, that you ran a campaign, right, that did not win, or you were not, you did not, you know, win the contest. So now I'm just, I'm not going to accept it. Like, what?
Right.
So, I mean, that's a whole nother story for another episode. But what I'll say is, but what do you think it's going to cost? I mean, you know, I think it's, I think it's significant.
No, I agree with you. I think it is significant, because if, how can I teach somebody else something if I'm not engaging this thing? Like you're saying, hey, you know, now I'm cognizant of my child and how do I teach accountability?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're not being accountable, then it's really hard to teach that and kind of deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle. I struggle with the kids. Like accountability, you know, you and I joke about this all the time, but it's bedtime. And bedtime is a time. Like I can't, accountability is not me moving the bedtime every week. So now my kids don't know what bedtime it is. And then me getting mad with them when I see the results of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so, or, you know, eating and them saying, well, I'm just going to eat sweets all the time or whatever the thing may be. So I think the more challenging it is for someone to engage in an accountable behavior and hold others accountable, then it is harder to now, you know, for me to teach the kids that, for any parent to teach or how to model that in relationships. So I think that's the cost.
Yeah. Right.
Then,
I mean, I think you really just
see this generational change.
I agree. I think you really dove into my last and final point, which was, you know, how do we transfer this skill to the next generation? And I think, you know, the number one point that comes to mind for me is don't get punked by your kids, blah. But what I'm saying is, aside from that, because over here, everyone is in bed by seven. I'm kidding. But no, but in reality, there are, you know, this is where, you know, children or young people or our family learn to be good citizens or learn to be good people in relationships is by how they're trained as young people. You know, do you give in every time that your child asks for something, or do you, you know, break the rules or bend the rules or stretch the rules or just, you know, totally disregard the rules, you know, when somebody else isn't looking or whatever, just to be able to quote unquote appease your child in the moment. But I think that, you know, that accountability is a solid adult appropriate mature skill to have, both in business, at work, you know, in relationships. I mean, this is a skill set that will carry you across life in a good way. You know, but, you know, we see it all the time, you know, in these situations where people are not given adequate sentencing when there's a real crime that's been given. And then suddenly, you know, such and such gets 2 years for the same thing that somebody else gets 12 years for or whatever. But I just think, you know, we send all the wrong messages as a society about accountability. You know, some people are accountable to who, depending on what it is, depending on what you look like, depending on who you're related to. I mean, there are all these variables to it, but understanding the importance of it, you know, how do we leverage what we know about this and really help and support our young people to be more accountable? You know, I think that's ultimately the goal.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if I were to kind of give what I think is my kind of closing thought on it, I think that people seeing the positive side of accountability, which in the moment may be a challenge, because accountability also means I have to confront my own shortcomings as well as being able to raise those concerns or boundary violations with other people, friends, family, partners. But I think there's this other piece that people have to hear more of. You know, like I was saying earlier, and I think you kind of alluded to as well, with greater accountability, then there is a greater sense of safety, mm-hmm. of comfort, really knowing what you can expect. Like there's little space for, I don't know what I'm gonna get from this person today, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because of that level of accountability. And so I think for people to hear the benefits of accountability, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that a relationship has to stay together, or it doesn't mean that you won't disagree with your sibling or mm-hmm. your parent, but the accountability says, but we know how we will handle it.
Yes.
And we know that we can resolve it without devolving into, as you were saying, you know, politicians, whoever, saying, well, if I don't win, ain't nobody winning.
Right.
And just kind of blowing up the situation. So I think that people have to hear, in terms of how do we teach the next generation, wow, let's make sure we understand the benefits when there's accountability.
Yes.
And there are a lot of benefits. So I think when we're able to do that, I think that's a real helpful component.
Yes, absolutely. And final thought for me, I think I may have remembered what you wanted me to say earlier, which you properly wanted to worship me about, was where there's, you know, accountability, there's love, which I think kind of speaks to the fact that, you know, it's very hard to love without accountability. And I think that's also something as we're passing on to the next generation, you know, obviously where there is more love in the world, there is less conflict. But I also would like to just say that I think overall, you know, this is very important work, I think, for us to do as humans, as people that are relating to each other, that it is essential to realize and recognize no one is perfect. No one is always going to get it right. Sometimes you're going to step on people and they're going to say, ouch, you know, acknowledge it so that you can move on. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll be better as a result. And if you find yourself unable to do that, you know, that's when you seek out support from your friends, from your family. And if it's beyond that, you know, get some professional help. You know, obviously, that is always an option. We recommend that here on this show. But there are people that are willing, you know, neutral parties to hash out with you those things that maybe you need to be more accountable on. Recognize that, work through it so that you can be a better person. And, you know, all that comes with that as well. But we'll be grateful nevertheless. So thank you for listening to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a podcast. Thank you so much. Until the next time.